sit down, boys. Have I got a treat for you?
Fighting the fight when it comes to technology. We are the knights of the kingdom of geekery. We rise up when it comes to the challenge of discussing all this nerd knowledge. We are the digital soup. We are the digital soup. We bring information with lots of laughter. Tune in now if that's what you're after. Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. With Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Welcome to the Digital Soup Podcast, the only podcast that isn't upset about the Game of Thrones finale.
Yeah, that's right. I thought it was a good fitting end. We won't give spoilers here or talk about it too much.
But I didn't have a problem with it. Hey, no, where's Jason? He usually does these intros. What the heck?
Right? He's slacking off. He said something about spending some extra time in a shower or something. I don't know what he's doing, but...
Nonsense.
Yeah, slacking off. He said he's going to try and join us here in a bit. We'll see if he makes it through. So... last week he threw the ball in your court and said, Adam's got to plan the whole show.
That's right.
You know, and this week he had a busy weekend and busy schedule. And now tonight can't even be here to start the show. And so he said, hey, can you throw the show together, some notes and stuff like that? So I said, yeah, sure, I can do that. I didn't know he was planning on not being here. You know, that's taking a little extreme.
It's going to be all us.
Right. Right, right. Good thing we've got a little experience doing that in the past, so we'll let it rip. So, we've talked before about this, you know, when they're modifying clothing a little bit. Remember way back we had talked about this clothing that was basically generating electricity?
Right, yep, I remember. That was, last year.
Sometime back, yeah, a while back. And so, you know, something that's kind of always on our radar a little bit as far as tech being applied in kind of not strange, but everyday situations, you know, where it might help. One of the big things that we always hear about is climate change, you know. Now, we're not going to go down the rabbit hole of whether we agree with it, what we think politically, any of that. But researchers, scientists at the University of California, San Diego, they actually have a new technology that may help reduce dependence on things like air conditioning and heating, although I'm not sure this will work as well in the northern states. But I guess that the big thing, it's using very, very little power, and it looks kind of cool. And it looks like, the way they're making this work is to essentially give each of us our own personal sort of air conditioning or heating device, depending on the season.
Yes, please.
Yeah, right? It's pretty interesting. Now it's in the early stages right now. Obviously it's not perfected yet. It's not a final product, but the breakdown or the breakthrough that they're having is that, you know, there's clothing out there. You can buy, you know, socks or hunting clothes that have stuff in them to keep you warm.
Yep. Heated gloves, heated socks.
Right. And they're usually kind of bulky and they just chew up power, you know,
so kind of bulky, Bartokomus.
Yeah, you know, that's a show I have not seen in ages. I should really see if I can find some old reruns.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I used to watch that as a kid.
Oh, same here.
Perfect Strangers. Yeah. Yep. Anyways, but you know, usually that stuff is kind of bulky. It's kind of, power hungry, meaning it's kind of
it's like fans or
some
kind of, you know, heating system that runs on a battery that's gonna last you for a half hour.
Exactly. Yeah. And this university scientist here, they basically have the way I understand it, it's almost like a patch that basically has this, they're calling it in the article, this thermoelectric material at its core. Now this is a bit geeky. I don't even quite understand what this means, but it's made of bismuth telluride alloys, soldered to copper electrode strips, everything sandwiched between a soft and elastic material invented by the researchers. Now, sounds like Solder and Jack's going to be in business for a while then.
I can't wait.
But they're putting this together. It's like they describe it like a rubber-like substance, which is
flubber?
Pretty cool.
Please flubber. Tell me it's flubber.
No, I don't think it's flubber.
Do you
flubber.
Dip yourself in it?
I don't think so.
I put my hand up on your hip.
What did I see? total side topic, but you know that spray-on kind of fix-it? They show the guy, he like sprays it on a screen door and uses it on the bottom of a boat.
Oh, a Flex Seal.
Flex Seal, yeah. I seen this meme going around where people were saying, best way to fix a leak in your engine. And
it was Flex Seal.
Dumping Flex Seal in there. Oh my God. I can't imagine.
Don't do that.
No, bad idea. But basically the way that this technology is working, they said they was able to keep the human skin at a stable 89.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Huh. In fluctuating temperatures, which means it's consuming very, very little power, I guess, to 0.2 watts for this 2x2 inch patch. But
oh, really?
You know, it's kind of cool. Now they talk about it and say it only take 144 patches with a total consumption of 26 watts to keep someone at that 89 degree mark. Well, that sounds like a lot, except for the more they build it in, they're looking at placing it strategically in areas that were typically warmer. So you think about under your arms. Yep, your groin, places like that, which hitting those key spots like that, even your head if you're wearing some sort of a hat or something like that,
right,
will let the body feel a perceptively cooler or warmer temperature. Sure. You know, one thing I do during deer season, you know those simple little one-time use, those hand
yep.
warmers, you open
the
up
bag, and, the oxygen yeah. hits it, and it warms up for about 3 hours.
Well, and they say 8 to 10 hours now. And they, if you keep them exposed and shake them every now and then, they'll stay warm for most of a day. Mm. But the one thing I like to do is I'll get those opened up when it's real cold out, and then I've got some pockets in my jacket along the back. And I'll actually stick those heating pads right over kind of where your kidneys are on your back. And I thought this was nonsense until I tried it. It actually works, because if you think about it, all the blood in your body has to go through your kidneys. It filters through there. And if you keep that spot warm, it's basically locally warming the blood as it's pumping through your body even more.
Interesting.
Which means it's not like it makes a difference, not like you're sitting there in a t-shirt and in 40 degree weather, but it does help keep that chill out.
And
it's kind of wild, and it lets you, you know, for me, it lets me sit longer in the stand and more comfortably, things like that. The same process would work with this clothing. You know, when they look at it, basically being able to
target the hot spots at you.
Yeah.
Well, and I know I saw a show about people spelunking like in a cave, and they were worried about getting like their chest wet, because they call that their core. If you get that cold.
Yep.
You know, that same kind of deal. Now I'm looking at this article, and this is over at tomsguide.com. Mm-hmm. These sheets are able to conduct heat in and out of the human skin, thus heating or cooling as needed, depending on the direction of the electric current.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
So like one, I mean,
or look warm. At, am I right?
Yeah, look at like Under Armour, right?
Yep.
It's expensive. You buy a set of the Under Armour thermal wear for cold weather use.
Right.
You're going to pay $170 or so for a set of tops and bottoms. Now, if you want the same thing, if you're working in warm weather, they've got that. It doesn't have this cool tech in it. It's just like a base layer you would put on to wick moisture away and everything else. Mm-hmm. That's another $100, $150. This, you could literally buy one set of gear, basically, and just essentially flip the switch, hot or cold. You know, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know, set the temperature on it and you'd be all set.
That'd be amazing. This is,
I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, something that, since we always are looking for this stuff, and, you know, I don't want to speak for you guys, but as a, you know, middle-aged kind of overweight fat guy, I'm usually typically running pretty warm.
You're checking all the boxes for me. Tell me more.
Right. I mean, I typically tend to run a little warm. Yeah. So, especially as it gets into the summer here.
What I struggle with a lot is feet. Getting cold.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? And I don't know why, but like I work in my basement downstairs
yep.
where even if the room, the air temperature is decent, the floor will pull the heat right out of your feet.
Oh, right.
You know, so I've got socks and slippers on even in the summertime, because it's just that cool.
Right.
If I could actually have, you know, something like that to warm certain parts of the feet or whatever
right.
all day long, that'd just be perfect. That now, sounds great.
Your floor down there, is that carpeted or?
It is carpeted, but it, you know, it's
still
it's basement. Not very thick, and it's right on top of the concrete, and
right.
you know, kind of pulls it out. Now, have they talked about real applications for this, or any, what's the future of this?
You know, that I don't know. I mean, as far as I saw, it's just kind of a breakthrough in the tech where they're looking at how this could work. You know, so I think they're in the early stages of this. Like I say, I don't think we're ready to see that brand new line of, air conditioned clothing or whatever you want to call it.
Is it just clothing applications, or are they talking about, I mean, can you use this to heat your entire floor underneath your carpet and heat your house low power? I mean, those are the kind of applications when you think even bigger.
Well,
now, if you're doing an in-floor heat system, you're basically laying tubing throughout your floor before you pour it. And you are cycling, you know, hot liquid through your,
right.
I don't know if it's water or what, that's probably something special.
It is. I'm trying to remember what my dad used this, because we put in the in-floor heat in his new garage when he built that a few years back.
But yeah, it's some kind of fluid that you have to use in there. But the application is amazing because heat rises, you put in-floor heating in your basement, and you can actually heat quite a bit of your home with that.
Right.
You know, if they can actually do this, I don't know how it works with skin pulling heat in and out versus, you know, how you might heat a home or something. But
well, you would think the principles would be pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Just a matter of laying this, you know, in something like that, especially if they're developing it in like a patch type format.
Sure.
No reason in my mind, at least, why they couldn't just basically scale that up to even, have you ever seen like that, you see it commercially a lot when they put down like heavy duty carpeting, but it's made to really wear and be replaceable. So they come in like 12 by 12 inch tiles.
Yep. Carpet tiles.
Yep. And they lay those, they're all seamless, everything else, something like that with these elements built in, you know, be killer.
Now it's hard to say that. I don't know what the science is behind this and if it actually requires, you know, the electricity from your skin to work.
That's true too.
Or what, you know, but, even so, if you've got something going on where this is, if this became something really common where you could very easily regulate your body temperature,
right?
You have, I mean, let's say you work outdoors in the winter,
right?
Or you have your shop and you don't have to heat it as much, you know, things like that. I think that'd be pretty interesting. Or you don't have to cool the entire house in the summertime.
Exactly.
If you do this, but again, it's also like, oh, it's really hot, I better put on this full body suit.
Well, it could be as simple as a t-shirt, though.
A cool shirt,
you know, whatever.
Hypercolor. It changes color with the temperature.
I think they already did that. But no, something like that. I mean, here in northern Minnesota, you'd have to really watch. Like in the summertime, not as much. Obviously, you keep your house at a comfortable temperature, but in the winter especially, you've got to make sure you meet certain temperature thresholds or you're going to freeze up and pipes and all that stuff. But you could get away with keeping your house at 64 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, 65 degrees, keep everything from freezing up. But also then, you know, it ends the battle of, you know, wife or kids or someone saying, oh, I'm freezing and I'm roasting and, you know, this and that. And, you know, bedtime pajama line would be fantastic. Ooh.
Or the blanket.
Blanket. Well, I think the pajama line of some sort or something on those lines would be make a lot of sense, because then much like we see the Sleep Number type where each side gets their own, you know, kind of firmness, whatever it is, you can have the same thing with their temperature, you know, readings as well. So
do you think it would be so warm, though, that it would make me shart? Because this is Shark Jason.
Shark Jason.
He makes it in.
He is back.
Yes.
We were just about to talk about mind-reading hearing aids, Jason.
Oh, sweet. Is that sweet, though, or isn't it?
I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But would we want our minds read? That's a scary place.
You might not get too much information out of it.
You don't think so? You think I don't have thoughts? I have thoughts. You know, I say shart.
And that's just trying to remember his name.
Well, welcome back to Digital Soup, Jason.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you guys inviting me back. I had fun the last time. Actually, the last episode was pretty fun. Way to go, Adam. I've listened to the episode a couple of times, and it wasn't the disaster I felt while we were actually recording the 35 minutes.
The Mad Libs episode was
very tough. Crazy.
So, according to technologyreview.com, imagine you're trying to have a talk or catch up with your best friend in the middle of a noisy pub. Despite the distracting background noise, you're able to filter out all the hubbub and can still hear all your best friend's gossip. This cocktail party effect comes naturally to many of us, but for people who use hearing aids, coping with irrelevant noises is difficult and deeply frustrating. So now there's a new system that can work out who you want to listen to and amplify just that voice.
This is pretty wild to me.
This is wild. And it uses a deep learning algorithm that's trained to differentiate between different voices to look for the closest match between the signature and that of the various speakers in the room.
Wow, so, that's weird.
It is weird. How does it know? As the brain focuses on each voice, it generates a telltale electrical signature for each speaker. Oh, that's how it works.
Right.
So then it tries to match that signature and whoever's voice is in the room. That is crazy.
You know what would have been easier, though, is if it would have been like a receiver and a transmitter. So like the person that you're talking to, they have something that is transmitting a signal, and then you have like what is that called? Those headphones like bone, not
a walkie-talkie,
not bone injection headphones, but
bone vibration. Are you talking about the way the Avengers communicate in their headsets?
Oh, I don't know. Is that how it is? But I was thinking it would pick up and it would just like vibrate in your bones or something, and you'd just be like hearing the sound, not audibly, but through feeling. Does that exist? Is that something that would be cool?
Well, I think you just invented something.
Yes. Yeah.
The problem with that would be that you'd have to have everybody wearing these and be able to tune into everyone's thing. Because let's say you were. I mean, it'd work if you were out with, say, your spouse, and you wanted to be able to hear both of you, you know, talking clearly. So your thing, but how often do you find yourself in these situations where you're just in a restaurant, or, you know, maybe like Adam, you go.
Jason finds himself in a restaurant all the time,
every day.
True, but I mean, you find yourself in a crowded space where maybe you're not there with anyone in particular. And you're just kind of, you know, having to mingle through a crowd or whatever it is. That's the problem.
Well, I think, and for most of us, we don't have a problem with that.
No, right? I do sometimes.
Do you? Okay. Mm-hmm. But this is specifically for the hearing aid system because it just doesn't work. I mean, if you're wearing a hearing aid, you're getting all this noise at once, and it's harder to differentiate because you're getting an amplified version of everything, whereas our distance from other people, you know, There's all these little variations in the sound that are coming through.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think without the hearing aid, it's easier for our brains are wired just amazingly to be able to do that. But I suppose if you had trouble with this, even without the hearing aid, you could get one that could do this possibly.
Yeah. I mean, this is one I'm watching closely because all the years of drumming and unfortunately many years where I paid no attention to hearing protection and things like that.
Mm-hmm. No protection to what?
Right. When I get into certain situations like that, I can still hear. It's not like I'm unable to follow, but there are times where I will have to say, what was that? Or, you know, have someone repeat it, or maybe I just miss it altogether if I'm not, you know, noticing they're talking to me or something, because sometimes certain frequencies happen when you get in crowded rooms where everything just starts to be this kind of dull roar, and it's hard for me to pick certain voices out. Not all voices, but some voices.
You know what would be cool if they could actually, instead of raising the voice of the person talking to you, they mute the other voices.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, though, would it? Because it'd be kind of eerie if everything just goes silent.
That would be cool, though.
Oh, it'd be like lucidity.
Hush, now, child, don't you cry. Wipe away that teardrop from your eye.
That song seemed like they so bad wanted to be Pink Floyd. It reminded me so much of a Floyd there. Song.
Right. Now, this technology is very cool, and this is researchers at Columbia University, that are looking at this, but there's one major drawback right now.
It doesn't exist.
Well, no, it does, and they did testing on it. They did testing at it on it for
causes cancer.
That were as treatment for epilepsy, things like that, to, you know, allow for their brain signals to be monitored. The major obvious drawback when you read this article is that currently
you have to put it in your anus.
No, you have to put it in your brain. So
it requires
electrodes implanted into the brain. However, what the researchers are saying,
earlier.
Well, the thing is, this is early on, another breakthrough, like the first story kind of, only this one's not quite as far advanced. They did testing on this, and they did it with study groups on people who were actually going through brain surgery already that agreed to do this. Some with hearing issues, some without. Well, they're saying they can measure it, possibly do that through a system measuring and sensors placed either in or over the ear, meaning it could eventually be embedded right into a hearing aid of some sort.
We're talking way in the future.
Right. Well, depends. I mean,
you know what's interesting? The last paragraph on here. Within just a few seconds, someone using a device like this could silence everyone but the person they want to right. hear. Oh, that's what I was just talking about.
Right. Well, it's kind of a cool thing. And like they say, it's a proof of concept, but it's very cool potential.
Well, what I think is funny is every type of new technology breakthrough, they always have the same four words that are always associated with it. A deep learning algorithm. It seems like it's always algorithms and it's always deep learning.
Alan Gorithm is pretty popular these days.
Now, well, when you're mentioning here that this is an implant, the first thing that popped into my mind was the Matrix and like possibly having those implants where they could jack into the Matrix.
Well, I don't know about that.
Then you just
start
jacking into the hearing.
Right. Well,
that's a lot of jacking.
Speaking of Jason, why were you late again tonight?
Because I had to actually work 13 hours, you unemployed guys.
I
started at 9 a.m. this morning, and then I actually was going to be done. I actually got done a little after 9, and as I was leaving, there were three employees that needed rides home. And I'm like,
you're such a good boss.
Well, no, it's just part of my, we have to give them rides.
No, I'm giving you a compliment, building you up here. Say, I am. Thank you.
You're just building me up to tear me down.
Yep, pretty much.
Well, so there's one more thing on here that they talked about, and this is something that's kind of interesting, where because it's using an algorithm to pick out the words, and like they said there, within just a few seconds, they're talking about the problem that there's basically a slight lag time can figure out what's going
on. It's going to be like when you're watching a movie and it's slightly out of sync. Their lips are going to be moving and you're going to hear the words late.
No, I think what it's looking at more is just that
it's like a kung fu movie.
Well, it won't be like that for the whole conversation. Just at the initial first couple seconds, it'll take a second to figure out who you're trying to listen to. But
can we also have it translate?
That would be awesome.
That would be
universal translators. Yep. That would be perfect.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
We're close to that. I mean, we have some great translation software out there. I bet you in another, I'm just going to make a prediction here. In the next 25 years, we will have a universal translator.
Well, in some rudimentary forms, I believe you can do that via some apps on your phone maybe or something like that.
You speak it and it'll, you know, translate it to that language. But I mean, the way you see it, like the Star Trek's, you know, they have the, where they just talk, you know, it's like a, how do we explain it? It's nothing that they put on them or talk into. They just talk into a room and there could be eight different species with eight different languages. It gets instantly translated to all of them. They hear it in their native tongue. That is something that would be cool, but you'd have to have some type of device that's sending out some type of waves or something. I don't know. Star Trek hasn't explained it to me.
Okay. Movie geeks, aside from Star Trek, there was a movie or TV series fairly recently that did something like this where they had them take a pill and then it unlocked like instant linguistics and the ability to understand and speak. So you
was
could just talk normally.
The movie that was turned into a TV show called Limitless?
I don't know. Was it? I can't remember.
That
which
made
one
him really
was.
Smart. I know. I never watched it, but I saw the previews.
It didn't give him full understanding of other languages, but it made him super brilliant. It was
I cannot remember what it is, but I'm positive there was something just very recently in the last couple years where the individuals, when they were going somewhere else, it might have been set in space. I can't remember. It was not Star Trek, though. But they gave the one person, said, "Here, take this." And it'll basically let you understand and hear everything.
Oh, pill pushers, huh?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
You know, maybe this could happen if Sony and Microsoft teamed up.
Right? Did you ever think you'd see this day?
You know what? I thought it was going to be Microsoft and Nintendo because they've been playing nice for a while. This is totally out of left field here because Sony has been so adamant about they wanted to have their own little playground. They didn't want to play with others. And for them to actually team up with Microsoft is actually kind of scary here because now where's that leave on Nintendo?
Well, I think the bigger thing, I guess that's a good question about Nintendo. I don't know on that. But the reason they're saying that this kind of happened is because everything is kind of going towards this whole cloud-based thing. Like we had talked about with the Google Stadia, was it?
Yeah.
And right now, Microsoft and Sony finally realize that they just individually, they cannot compete dollar for dollar and, which means tech for tech with a giant like Google or Amazon. And so they decided to team up, which, gives them a chance, basically, when you look at it. So
now I understand the premise of this cloud gaming. You do not, each individual does not need to have a powerful system. They just have to have servers that are powerful. And I know what Microsoft and Sony are looking at here is like to make the next system even that much better, it costs a lot of money because their tech has to keep getting better and better and better. And they're thinking, let's sell a $100 console that they hook up to their TV that basically is just streaming off of our mega servers. And I understand that, but I'm still very hesitant about this whole thing because, for one, you always have to be connected to the internet. And who doesn't like to play a game if they're out in the country somewhere, laying in a field with the birds chirping above them, butterflies, flying over them, and then you have a creek next to you? You're not going to be able to stream games then. You need some games that are playing on the console you have in your hand.
So not all the games are going to be streamed, maybe. So this is interesting because Microsoft is very strong in the cloud area. And so is just like Amazon Web Services. It's really two of the biggest platforms, Google too. But the point of a lot of companies are going cloud streaming services. Look at Netflix. They're not their own Netflix data centers. They're going to be operating out of one of these larger cloud services because they've dedicated, Microsoft and Amazon Web Services have dedicated so much to their platforms for allowing this stuff to happen. With they've got the bandwidth, they've got the power, they've got everything that you need and the ability to manage this stuff. But I think the bigger surprise that's hitting people is that these were rivals and what are we doing dealing with them?
Right.
When it could be, according to this, they're going to co-develop some game streaming technology. That's kind of the pinch right there. And host some of PlayStation's online services on the Azure cloud platform, which is a worldwide huge platform. So it's, there probably wouldn't be any uproar if they were going with Amazon, for their cloud platform.
Right.
But because it's Microsoft, it's just,
But
are they going to start, what's going to happen to the gaming industry? And now people have been assured, like their own employees had to be assured and calmed that the plans for the company's next-gen consoles weren't affected.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm looking at what the article says here. I was reading down as you were talking there, Adam, and it says that cloud gaming will account for just 2% of the industry's revenue by 2023, according to the IHS market. Now, we are not losing our actual owning of the media or downloading of the media to our systems here because 2% is nothing when it comes to the big money. Now, the last time I played any type of streaming gaming like this was, and you guys remember we talked about it before, that OnLive service that no longer exists. It got, enveloped into another service. And it might have been the PlayStation Now. It might have been Sony that bought them and kind of melded it into that. I have to look that up to be 100% sure. But speaking of PlayStation Now, since that was like a decade ago, I'm actually thinking maybe I should subscribe to PlayStation Now for 1 month. I have great internet speed just to test where we are in this streaming because that would be a good gauge for me to be able to see how it's come along and if it's even viable for fast action games and stuff.
Right.
Well, thinking about the future, at some point we're going to be rolling with 5G too. I don't know if that's going to take over the broadband that we have in our homes, but for the mobile gaming and mobile streaming, it's supposed to be even faster and with almost minimal lag. So, I mean, I think our next 10 years are going to be really, really, really cool for tech.
I hope so.
The amount of stuff that we're going to be able to do to have all this wireless stuff going on. Like I said, the 5G is going to be, I think it's going to be huge, huge, huge.
But that's only going to be like in the biggest markets, though. It won't come out to, you know, like where Dave is for probably another 20 years.
Oh, I don't know about that. They're going to try to spread this across the country.
Yeah. I still feel cool. I'll be left out in the cold on this one for quite
probably
some time.
They'll go around your house.
Yeah.
Like, around
oh,
their whole
Swiduck's place.
Dave yeah. is in a dead zone. I'm sorry, Mr. Swiduck. There's nothing we can do for you.
Thanks, Kermit.
Hey, did you guys, either of you, get a chance to check out John Wick 3?
No.
No.
Oh,
we have
man.
Jobs and families.
I do too. And I got a chance to go check it out. I won't spoil it, but it might be the best of the series so far.
Really? All right.
Well, I've enjoyed both of the first two, so I'm sure I'm going to dig this one.
There was just some awesome moments. I mean, the whole thing
has to be.
It was amazing. It literally just picks up right where the last one ended, like right there.
Well, you know the big news about John Wick 3?
What?
It outsold, of course, Endgame this last weekend, which, you know, Endgame's been out for a while, so hopefully it does. Right. But it was the number one movie over the weekend.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, I'm sure.
Can we talk about the latest crossover?
Crossover.
Yep. In today's Digital Soup Unsigned Spotlight, we've got a song called New Revolution by Crossover. Even though it's spelled X-O-V-A, it's pronounced Crossover. And they are a six-piece multi-genre band who fuse reggae with a modern mix of pop, rock, ska, indie, Motown, hip-hop, and folk to create a new crossover genre that they call Pop Twist. We're going to have a link to their Facebook page in our show notes, so check this out, New Revolution by Crossover.
Make me who
And we're back. Hey, so it sounds like we know who the new actor that's going to play the next Batman is.
Do we even talk about this?
Yeah.
I like this actor.
I don't. I thought he was horrible in his glittery vampire movies.
You're horrible.
I am horrible, but so is he. He's horrible-er.
Well,
that's hard to say.
Herbaler.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Patton Oswalt's going to be the next Batman.
Oh, I would love that, man. He's too busy doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though. Sorry, buddy.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, Robert Pattinson, of course, is going to be the next Batman.
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with this. I thought he was good in Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. He was
in Harry Potter? Yeah. I mean, I've never seen any of the movies, so I didn't know, but I didn't.
Was he just in the one?
Yeah, but I think he was just in the one, and then.
Was he the guy called Valcamore?
No.
Valcamore? Is that Val Kilmer and Falcor combined? They had a baby, Valcamore?
His name is awesome.
He looks like Mad Mardigan with a tail.
It's just like a Ukrainian Ukrainian or Russian guy trying to say Val Kilmer.
Bring in Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
I am Count Valkymor.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Well, we have to be clear on this. As of this morning when I was looking this up, just for a little more info on it, they have not officially signed a deal yet.
Good.
It looks like he is the leading candidate, and it seems like it's a done deal. Nothing fully official at this time just yet. I myself, though, I'm kind of with you, Adam. I don't think he'll be a bad Batman, especially because this, you know, the glittery vampire thing, that wasn't his acting choice. That was the movie he signed on to do. That was the writer. That was the director's, right?
Right.
He's a pretty good actor. And not only that, but especially if they do what they're talking about doing and make this kind of a year one or early on Batman story, he'll look good in the costume. Now, as Bruce Wayne, I don't know how it'll be, but you can look up our
he'll
old friend.
He'll look good in the costume, Dave just
well,
said.
Well, no, I don't mean it like that.
Ooh.
No.
Rock me, Amadeus.
I don't mean it like that, but if you look up our good old friend that doesn't know we exist, Boss Logic, on the old Instagram
that
here.
That doesn't know we exist.
We call him our friend, but he has no clue who we are. But he has actually done a mock-up, a couple of them actually, with Robert Pattinson as Batman in the cowl.
Well, let's link that up in the show notes, Dave, if you could.
Yep, I'm sticking them in here right now for you guys. Now, the other thing, though, with this Batman movie, there's a possibility we're going to see quite a few villains because the storyline isn't set yet. Remember, it was supposed to be Ben Affleck playing this version of Batman, and that all kind of got scrapped. And now there's a lot of talk. The story's getting reworked and everything else. No one quite knows exactly which Batman story is being told. However, there is a lot of speculation that we're going to see possibly like the new Joker movie that's coming out very shortly with Joaquin Phoenix.
Well, no, Joker's being played by somebody else. Did you hear about that?
No, I know. No.
Taylor Lautner.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm not even joking. And Kristen Stewart is going to be Poison Ivy.
You're so full of it.
I am so serious.
No. But no.
And also, Batman's a vampire, this one.
Yeah, it's weird. But no, they're saying we might actually see quite a few different.
A vampire bat. Oh, come on. That was funnier than
it. That's actually pretty good.
Thank you.
Quite a few different villains, including one classic Batman villain. We might see finally the Penguin get redone. I mean, it'll be hard to imagine.
Patton Oswalt.
No. Yes. Everything with Patton Oswalt is better.
No, you know who they're saying could play the Penguin, though?
Who?
Is Josh Gad.
Josh Gad.
Not bad.
Okay. Tell me.
And look at the last link I posted. I can't think of what he was in. Well, he was the voice of the snowman in Frozen, but he also, what was he in? He was
a bigger
guy.
Does he like hugs?
Yep, yeah. He does.
But the last link I sent you, I linked up all of Boss Logic's Batman, Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I see the Penguin ideas here. Okay.
And that's his mock-up of of Josh Gad as the Penguin. I think it could work well. But then I did also see another meme come out, because we've talked about Batman Beyond before with the old Michael, with Michael Keaton playing old man Batman.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people right now on the internet are pushing for this hard, saying put Michael Keaton in and let's do the Batman Beyond series with Robert Pattinson as the young Batman there who is not Bruce Wayne. And that could be a pretty brilliant twist if they go somewhere in that direction.
Do you think they would, though? I mean, they want Bruce Wayne as Batman, at least in their main Batman movies.
But wait, what about Batwoman?
Well, and that comes out on the CW or whatever soon.
I'm going to be honest.
They made her a lesbian, dude.
Was terrible.
I mean, yeah, nothing against that, but that character has, in the comics, correct me if I'm wrong here, Dave, because you've read every comic ever written.
Oh, right.
She was not a lesbian in the cartoon, I mean, in the comic, correct?
I don't know that it was ever actually addressed, period, one way or the other.
And that's the way it should be. I mean, why do we have to have any sexuality with our superheroes?
Right, right. Yeah, because in the comics, she was...
I don't like chick flicks, so I don't want my superheroes having any type of romance.
Right. Well, I don't
Dave's
know.
Like, I like a good romance in my superhero movies.
No, I'll tell you what, there is some great ones, though. Superman and Lois Lane.
Nah. I mean,
that's an iconic romance that fuels a lot of why
Spider-Man and Gwen Stefani.
No. Spider-Man and Mary Jane Watson, or else he did have the
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stefani, because she's just a girl.
So I don't know how I feel about this Batgirl or Batwoman, but
maybe it'll be good. But the trailer, I mean, they really beat you over the head with the girl power stuff.
Yeah,
which we've been getting a lot of. You know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But don't make that the point of the whole show.
Right. That character has some cool story arcs and things.
Yeah,
make it
concentrate
about
on the story.
Right. Make it on the character, not about their sexual preference or love interest or anything like that. I'm with
you.
Or
the fact that I'm not going to let a man take credit for something a woman does.
Right.
After she takes all Batman's stuff. So I'm just saying, because I don't know. And maybe it'll be, like I said, maybe it'll be cool. I don't know. But we, focusing on that takes away the focus from the story.
Right.
And the same goes for anything, you know, where there's almost like an agenda behind almost anything that you see now. And it's
right.
Like, can't we just enjoy something for what it is?
Yeah, please don't care preach to us. Just let us
watch. I don't care what her orientation
OSHA
is, but you know, don't make me feel like I'm, you know,
a
lesser person through your trailer.
Just because.
I should probably cut all this crap.
You want to see the story?
Kind of ranting, but
yeah, just ranting.
You'd be all right. I think it's all right. But I mean, the thing is, even Avengers Endgame was not free of this.
Yep.
There was the strong vocal contingent out there, and I'm not saying whether it was handled well or not. Well, I might give my thoughts in a second, but about how underrepresented the women were in, you know, the female heroes, and how patronizing the one shot was when they all united, you know, on the battlefield there. And I get why maybe they're upset they didn't see that, but that movie, like we talked about with Captain Marvel, that was not their story. There. It was a cool fan service moment. Everyone got to see a glimpse of what could come in the future. Nothing more than that. Our favorite heroes, you got to see lots of random team-ups, men and women. It wasn't about political. It was a superhero film. Just enjoy it. That's my thought on it.
Before we go on to the next story here, I know I have not seen anything past the first episode of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been seeing a lot of stuff about Game of Thrones, you know, now that it's over and everything. And I don't know if Adam watched the last episode or not.
Yep.
What is David Benioff doing? What kind of showrunner is this guy to where he does not check the scenes before he films?
Nah.
It's ridiculous.
Over a coffee cup?
No. In yesterday's episode, there was a water bottle sitting.
I don't. I don't care. It's so hilarious. It's so minuscule. Let me tell you.
No, it takes you out of it. It's like if
it
you're
watching.
Okay, so if you're watching, let's just name something that you're watching a movie about the birth of Christ, and all of a sudden somebody drives by in an SUV in the background. That's not going to take you out of the movie.
And they're like, "Hey, where's Jesus?"
Yeah, that would take me out. This whole
there's movie mistakes in like all the kinds of big
everything.
Movies. They're, in Gladiator, one of the chariots flipped over. You can see two tanks underneath it that right. were used to actually propel it sideways. There's somebody walking around in jeans in that one. It's hilarious.
Right.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're little Easter eggs. Let me tell you this. The coffee cup one, I noticed it when it happened, and HBO went and fixed it. It's not there anymore.
Oh, okay. So when you buy the DVD, it won't be there.
Right. Now, this water bottle one, I never saw it, and I watched the episode live. I watched it very closely. I was into it. And it's hidden behind someone's leg under a chair in a scene that's in dark shadow. If you pause the frame and are really, you know, just literally scrounging frame by frame by frame, sure, you'll see it there. When you see the pictures, it looks so obvious. I'm telling you, that scene, when you watch it live, it's a quick pan through. It's okay. Not anything that takes you out of the story.
I do understand that.
It was a glass jar.
But why? Right. But this shouldn't be happening. Especially almost like within the span of what? Two or three episodes, right?
The thing is, though, it like Adam just said, it happens in everything.
Yes, but in a lot of them, it fits in the scene because it's taking place in modern times.
No, I'm going to tell you exactly. And this is going to probably make some of our listeners potentially angry with me, and that's all right. You guys can do your thing.
Dave's like, bring it on.
No, I don't care to argue because it's literally a bunch of people whining and crying because the story didn't go their way. And so what you have right now
spoilers,
with Game of Thrones.
I haven't seen anything past season two.
I'm not telling you what's happening. It's just that what's happening right now on the internet and with these people, all of this outrage, it is a very small vocal percentage that are crying and moaning like little two-year-olds because the story didn't go the way they thought it would go, and now they're upset, and they feel like they could have given a better ending. They thought they know better, and they wanted to see something else, and now they're blaming the writers. They're saying, well, they just wanted to end it because they wanted to go work on Star Wars, and, oh, George R.R. Martin even said he thinks it should have went at least two more seasons. Well, maybe George R.R. Martin should finish his book before he says anything about a show ending early. These guys did a fantastic job, I thought, of wrapping up this story of the whole 8-season run was phenomenal. It does not match the books exactly. They stopped doing that in season 2, even though they loosely followed the storylines through about season 5 when the books ended. But they've been doing their own thing to make it, you know, pliable for TV since the beginning.
And this isn't the first time something like this has happened. Look back to one of the biggest phenomenons in recent television history was this show Lost.
Yep.
It was huge. There was so many millions and millions that would watch this every single week. There was no way they could have ended it to where it satisfied everybody. And
no.
And I, along with a lot of people, were pretty disappointed with that last episode.
Agreed. Well, and this is very, you mentioned Star Wars. It's very reminiscent of Star Wars. Star Wars fans, and I include myself in this, we get really ticked off if the movie doesn't go, you know, the way that you want it to go.
Right.
Like the last one I thought was a travesty. So people are very, very passionate about this stuff. But at the same time, it's like, we got to remember, this is Game of Thrones, where you don't know who's about to get killed in the next this, that, or the other thing. It's all about surprises. It's not a feel-good show.
No.
This is closer to Black Mirror, and, you know, like, it's a pretty dark show.
Hey, like I said, I'm back in season 2 here, so I'm going to ask you guys a question.
The aliens abduct them all.
Now, do
I'm
you
not
think,
saying it was aliens,
this
but
is going to air on Friday. Do you think that's safe enough for you to guys give me a spoiler? Or do you think it...
I'll spoil anything you want me to.
Okay. Please...
Dave spoils everything.
Please, please tell me that...
Leave your milk on the counter. I don't care.
I can't remember what her name is because it's been a long time since I've watched it, but the Lannister...
Cersei.
Is that the queen?
Yep.
Yeah.
Please tell me she died.
Yep.
Yes.
Not in the final episode, but she did die.
Oh, so in the penultimate episode then?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know how I didn't hear that. The internet usually spoils everything.
Well, because that's one of those things that the internet cried about to no end, that she deserved a better ending than she got. We knew she was going to die, but she should have been killed in a more grandiose fashion. You know, let the storytellers tell their story. If you don't like it, that's okay. But you don't need to start claiming that it's poor writing or that they screwed up the whole series for you just because it didn't go the way you wanted it to go. I am telling you 100% right now, I 100% believe this. If this story 100%. Would have went the way most of the internet is, I wanted to say, I almost said something bad.
Stitching
and moaning. It would have been the lamest series, the lamest season ever, because all they wanted was this perfectly nice, happy ending. I saw a reaction today online that people were literally looking at the way this series ended and trying to form some sort of racist or some sort of class bias thing because one family's bloodline ended up getting everything. You know, they got the king of this, the king of that. You know what I mean? And, well, and it's like, that's not what this is about. This is a story made up.
Can we talk a little bit about, I mean, since we're talking spoilers and stuff here,
yeah.
We're talking about the Starks.
Yeah.
And so I did a little bit of research, and mm-hmm. the Stark family tree kept on going,
right.
You know, all the way down to Tony Stark. Who started and he became Iron Man and then saved. I mean, this is crazy,
right?
It is.
Brand the broken
the lineage.
You know what I mean?
It's a
three-eyed raven. He saw everything
and he knew.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it wouldn't have been for Arya going to find out what was west of Westeros,
yep, exactly.
Tony and his ancestors would not have found themselves where they were.
Exactly. So everybody calm down. We wouldn't have had Avengers without this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I've got such good fan theories, guys.
Now, it has been forever since I've seen this, but what is the Stark guy from the first season that got beheaded?
Ned.
Okay.
His real name is Eddard, but Ned.
Okay.
Ned?
Tell me they figured out how to bring him back for season 8. Ah, oh, he should have brought him back.
Thanos snap.
Yeah. Or unsnap, right?
Snap him on back. Okay, so we were talking all about Batman stuff, and then we were talking about Penguin, and then we talked about Batwoman, and then we went on a rant about Game of Thrones somehow. Yeah,
because I'm annoyed by people just crying of not getting their way.
Okay,
blaming it on
this guy here is the spokesperson for Domino's from the 80s.
I got one last question. One last question here. What happened with Tyrion?
He makes it.
Oh, we're not going to tell him.
What? You got to tell me.
He doesn't die. Let's just say that.
Goes on to become a space dwarf.
Well, Rocket
in
the Raccoon.
Avengers. Yeah,
it's interesting because Rocket.
Didn't he make like, wasn't he like a really huge little person?
He was.
Something like that. Yeah. No, but a quick question here. I finally got your guys' joke about Jaime Lannister because I read something about he lost a hand. And you guys had said something. What was the joke? It was a couple episodes ago, and you said something, and I didn't understand it at the time.
I made a joke. Someone said something about needing a hand or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And I said, oh, just like Jaime Lannister or something like that.
But. Yeah. So I, of course, I get all the spoilers, even though I'm 6 seasons behind.
Trust me. Watch the series anyways.
I'll forget it by then anyway.
Ignore the internet crying about it. It's going to die down. You got to remember, everyone thinks of The Sopranos, right, as being an amazing, groundbreaking, historical.
I heard that ended horribly, too. I never watched it, but I heard it
ended pretty
bad. You
know what? At the time, a lot of people were upset. Same thing, crying, because it ends very ambiguously. The screen just goes black. You don't know if he died, if he lived, what's going to happen. The writers did not tell you what happens next, because if they did, they're starting the next season, and there was no other season. It was a perfect ending. That show at the time received a lot of anger from the internet. Now, when you go back and look at it, the vast majority of reactions you see is that, you know, they've had time to realize how brilliant it was and how it lets you as the viewer kind of imagine where your favorite characters are now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're going to see with Game of Thrones. People are going to look at it 5 years, 10 years from now and realize, hey, that last season wasn't actually as bad as everyone cried about.
Damn.
I really enjoyed the last season. It's a bummer it was so short. I would have liked to see a regular 8 to 10 episode season, but I get why they did it this way. Right. Now, going back in time is something, I mean, we love looking back at our retro games. And I mentioned John Wick earlier. Did you guys see this mashup video that this guy did? Or this
when I clicked
did?
Your link, yes.
it's a version of what a John Wick franchise would have looked like as an old NES game. And it has very, very strong Contra elements to it.
Well, It actually reminds me a lot of a game called Trojan.
Okay.
If you take a look at some Trojan screenshots, especially with the broken down cars and stuff.
Right.
And I love that game. That was an awesome game. Now, is this an actual, did somebody develop this and I can download this ROM and play it?
No, it's just a little mock-up. I think it's about a minute or two long.
That would have been fun, huh?
But it looks super fun. But I mean, I guess what they're saying at the very end of this article over here on Game Informer, .com. This
Wait a second.
NES...
Adam, do your best snow.
What?
Game Informer.
I was thinking of Jon Snow because we're on Lord of the or we were still on Game of Thrones. I almost said Lord of the Rings.
Wow. No, but they're saying, you know, this NES game isn't real. It's just a mock up people did as a fan kind of thing. But there is
an actual...
You're
mocking the fans?
Yeah.
That seems a little inappropriate.
A little harsh. But no, there is an actual John Wick game in development right now. They're calling it John Wick Hex. I don't know the deal. I don't know these people's names. It says it's being created by Thomas Was Alone and Volume developer Mike Bithell. Oh, those are games. Thomas Was Alone in Volume. The developer of that, his name is Mike Bithell.
Like, the guy's last name was Alone?
Well, I thought it was, I'm like, wow, what is this? Some
man,
kind
his
of studio?
Parents hated him.
Good old Thomas Was Alone.
I thought it was like a studio name.
Hey, they call me Thomas Was Alone.
But this
and
John
I'm not
Wick
full
video,
of baloney.
It's only like a minute and something long, but it looks super fun.
You know, wouldn't you think right now the best time to start up your own Wick company for candles and call it John Wick?
What would it smell like though?
Gunpowder.
I know, wet dog fur.
Oh,
I didn't say with blood, I just said wet.
That doesn't make it better. But
oh gee.
Anyway, that's terrible.
Oh jeez.
I'm watching this John Wick video again. This is just so 8-bit Nintendo.
Oh, it looks fun.
Well, I don't know if it looks fun. Some of these games don't age very well.
I would play it.
You would.
Absolutely.
But there has never been a helicopter shooting missiles out at John Wick, has there been? I haven't seen John Wick 3 yet, so I don't know.
The jury's still out then, I guess.
he just took a missile to his body, and it only took off some health.
That's about right.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's not Chuck Norris, dude.
Are you kidding?
Oh, he took down the helicopter, and now there's a little puppy.
It's like the I was telling you, Adam, about that there's a Facebook group I follow or page or whatever called the Secret Nerd Base.
Mm-hmm.
And in their thing, they made a list of predictions that they
all your
feel
nerd base
strongly
belong
about.
To us?
No, but they said that John Wick is just Neo's VR dream world in the Matrix.
Yeah.
if you really think about it, especially when you watch this newest one, it's like, you know, I could totally see those two characters being not just because of the actor, but because of the fighting and everything else. Like, yeah, I could almost see that.
Hey, Dave, this just went live today. It's on the Game Informer. I clicked on the Game Informer link.
Yeah.
John Wick 4 gets a release date just after third movie's theatrical release. John Wick 4 will be released almost exactly 2 years from now on May 21st, 2021.
Yeah, I knew there would be another, so.
Yep, John Wick Chapter 4. Awesome.
The Wicker Cabinet.
The wickiest.
No, it's called John
Sam?
John Wicker Man, and it has Nicolas Cage.
That would have been funnier.
Could be John Witwicky. Relative of Sam Witwicky, and he's going to take care of Transformers too.
Transform up. Guys, I think it might be time to talk about our app recommendation of the week.
App. And I'm not going to do what I always do and say, hey, you know, the appetizers. But okay. I'm gonna start this bad boy out, though, because, all right, there's been an app that I've been playing a lot lately, and I keep sending videos and screenshots to these two guys, and they're just getting so tired of it.
Yep.
But I am totally amazed at how good this game is. This is Ark Survival Evolved for the mobile systems. Stop it. I play it on iOS, of course, but it's also available on Android. And playing this on my 10-inch iPad, my 2018 iPad, and you have to have a fairly modern tablet or phone with at least 2 megabytes of memory, which a lot of them just max out at 1 for some reason. They're so chintzy in their memory in most of these phones and tablets, but you have to have at least 2 megabytes. And this game is amazing. I cannot believe how true to the PC version this is. Did you guys see that latest video I sent you over? Did you watch that at all?
No, not yet, no.
Okay, so it follows the way the PC version is to a T, but with a completely touch interface. The graphics, I've said this before, it just blows my mind what these tablets can do, so much better than what any consoles could do even just a few years ago. And this game, if you're a fan of survival games like Mr. Dave, and you,
Mr. Dave.
And
they call him Mr. Dave.
Yes. And, oh no, Mr. Dave's got to play a survival game. That was a little Mickey Mouse in there. What the heck?
Oh, no, no kidding. Say now. Do the ha ha.
but this game, I highly recommend it. It is completely free to play. Now, yes, there is some in-app purchases you can do to not to buy like weapons or anything, but to give you like
inept purchases.
Yes,
why
inept.
Would you even bother?
Is there like a drive-through I can go through just to get food so I don't have to deal with all the rest?
No, it's fun, dude. Yeah. You want to hunt. You want to harvest berries. You want to do all that.
I want to hunt and harvest berries.
I have tamed so many creatures now, and I find that
I take the berry, I give it to animal.
You do?
I give animal but, berry to befriend. That's the made up accent I'm going to give the Ark character.
It's not made up. You're trying to do like a Russian accent.
No, that's not Russian.
Like a Southern Russian Southern accent.
That's not made up. But, that's real.
Yeah, but I do recommend this game wholeheartedly. If you enjoyed this on any of the consoles or the PC, or if you're just a fan of survival games like Minecraft, etc., this is a fantastic game. It is a lot of fun, and it gets the Jason 3 thumbs up, and I got to figure out where that 3rd thumb is, but I'm giving it 3 thumbs up.
That's a lot of thumbs.
You know, if you want to see what Ark is like, we'll stick it in the show notes here. We've got a very popular, I mean, this thing went viral, YouTube video. This is why Jason says that I love survival games so much. And so we've got this, we'll have it linked up. It's me playing Ark, but you didn't know they had a virtual reality mode. And so we'll link that up for you here in the show notes.
Nice.
What's your app?
Yeah.
My app is called LibriVox. You may have heard of the website, but maybe you didn't know there was an app.
I think I have that when I had chickenpox.
Yeah, LibriVox that. With the chickenpox.
Yes.
LibriVox
is that spotted books?
These are books in the public domain that I spotted online on the interwebs. Now, this is an audiobook app, and LibriVox is public domain books that have all been read by volunteers. And just like any kind of reading app or audiobook app, I should say, you can speed up the voice, the reading itself. You can put your sleep timer on, all that stuff. You can search. There's thousands of books in here, and there's quite a few pretty good ones, and they're all rated and everything. But this is 100% free. 100%.
I like free.
That's LibriVox. LibriVox.
Adam, I know they are all volunteer, and you had mentioned in the past you'd like to try your hand at this. So,
I would love to read a book there.
So why don't you do it?
Because I haven't gotten around to it yet.
I'll write a book and you read it.
Yes.
There we go.
There I was, gathering grains in the field.
Well, no, I was going to say
and
it's
then
a
I
lot
made a
like,
hut.
No, Shark Jason!
Shark Jason! And then you got to do all the voices.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it would be kind of cool. But yeah, if you're looking for books in the public domain, audiobooks, this is a great alternative if you don't want to spend any money. The best one I listened to on here by far was The Count of Monte Cristo. There's some English guy that read the entire thing, and he gets all the accents spot on. It was a fantastic listen.
Awesome.
Check it out.
You know, what would have been better if he would have had them not spot on, and he would have done them in like completely different accents. Yeah. That's mine! Oh, and before we go on to Dave's recommendation here, I just want to let all the listeners know that Adam's been working on this. He should have it finalized for next week, but we will have a musical introduction now to our app recommendation segment.
Sweet.
And he's been working on it. It's going to sound awesome, so I can't wait to hear it next week, Adam.
All right. I can't wait to release that.
Oh, yeah.
Put that on my calendar quick.
Well,
you got something coming up too, Dave, so don't laugh too hard.
Well, Adam's marking his calendar for his production schedule, my app I picked. Now, Jason, you probably have used this possibly because you're a big Amazon Echo user. But I
haven't, though, actually.
Really? I stumbled across this last week, I think it was, because it popped up in, you know, when you go in the app store, it says recommended apps for you based on whatever. And it popped up in there, and it was free.
And usually it's all the makeup apps for Dave for some reason.
No, it's usually a lot of photography. But this is, it's called Song Quiz. Now, this is the Amazon device Song Quiz. And you can use it, though, on your mobile device, because all of them now link up to Amazon easily with the voice assistant services on there. So essentially what it does, you load the app, hit play now. It'll ask you how many people are playing, and you tell it. Although it did a weird thing, because just for kicks one time, I said 4,000, and it says, it goes, what is your name and email address? I didn't give it anything. I'm like, why would you want to know that? Apparently it was too many people, but we used it at home a little bit.
Oh, you've done too many people. I need your
email
address.
I'm wondering if there was going to be a lot of people like that, if they maybe have something like that, but it puts you into like a commercial grade, like say for bars on quiz nights and stuff. And maybe they want you to, you know, say, oh, we'll get you information on a, commercial subscription, but otherwise it's free. We played with four players and two players. My wife and I played some at home here the other day, and then we had a little trip we made over the weekend with my wife and kids and I, and so we played it in the car. And basically it plays little, I forget if it's 10 second clips, I think, of songs. You tell it what decade when you start the game, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, or 2010s. And you tell it the decade, it'll play little clips of the song, and then you answer. If you need more time, you can just say repeat or whatever, and it'll replay it. And it keeps track of score. There's bonus points you can get, everything else. It's super easy, but it made me think of the quiz show here, you know, when we do like the music ones. And it's actually a lot of fun if you've got a few people just sitting around, can really just play. And the only thing I will say, the one complaint I have, they tend to skew very heavy into like pop music from whatever era you're in. And so
right up your alley.
Yeah, it can get a little difficult even for me at times, depending on the decade. But, you know, a lot of them I knew, but
even for Dave. Yeah,
well, I'm pretty good with music, as we've heard, you know. And so, but there are times when it'll throw some pretty obscure ones out there, and I'm like, whoa, I would have never got that in a million years. But it's fun.
I want to check that out. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I would too.
Cool, cool, cool. All right.
No, cool, cool, cool for you.
Triple cool. What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
What I wanted to put together this week, I actually today put a handful of these together. And
well, we can't do all of them,
gonna,
okay? Some of us have to go
to bed. We're
going to
pick one. So what I want to know, do we want to do a shorter version? Since we're a little over, and save the two full regular length geek offs for another week?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. So the shorter
Hello, Dave. Yep.
The shorter version, that I came up with is, this is simple. I want to know, we're going to do, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 different matchups and a final bonus round. Guaranteed to make you go to bed hungry tonight. So what I want to know, we're gonna talk about the best.
Well, Adam goes to bed thirsty every night.
We're going to talk about the best burger condiment.
Best burger condiment. Yep. Oh, man.
Oh, man. It's a big one.
All right. Well, I enjoy burgers, so I already know we're not making
your random weird one slice of cheese and only in the middle between the two patties type of burgers here. What
better be.
What we're going to do is debate one-on-one, head-to-head, just like we've always done. So first up, right, we need to know what's going to take the prize here.
Shark Jason!
good old fashioned ketchup versus a sweet barbecue sauce.
Sweet barbecue sauce.
Ketchup.
Nope. Okay. Sweet barbecue sauce. I'd rather have more of a spicy barbecue, but I would definitely choose barbecue sauce, even though it's sweet.
Barbecue's great, but eventually you got to go back to ketchup.
I don't, though. Every burger I make, it's barbecue sauce.
Really?
Yep.
Every single one.
That I make, or that I go to a restaurant, and if I go to like a McDonald's or something, it's not. But if I order it in a restaurant, or if I make it at home, it's barbecue.
I just think
sauce.
Ketchup's a classic winner here.
Well,
so what's it going to be?
Well, I'm going with barbecue sauce, man.
I'm going with ketchup.
I gotta agree. I enjoy both, but
what more do you want from us? Fight.
I think ketchup is where
get
I'm at
over
too.
Here.
And the reason I say that. So next up, we'll find out in a minute why I say that. Next up, I need to know what's going to win: mustard versus mayo. A little California style burger. Ooh.
Oh,
again.
Me and Jason have different burger tastes.
So Jason's got barbecue mustard.
I have to choose Sir something Jason. To combine?
No. These are independent of each other.
Okay, good. Yeah, I would definitely choose. I mean, the only time I would ever use mayonnaise is if I was having a California burger.
Okay. Which is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
True.
I think mayo goes. In fact, you buy burger sauce, you mix your mayo and your ketchup together.
You got burger sauce. Yep.
It's awesome. Also, it's delicious.
All it's right. awesome healthy, and delicious. Wow.
All
double
right.
threat.
All right. So we're going to go out on a limb here because this is one that probably not a lot of people do. But
horseradish.
A1 versus Heinz 57 on your burger.
A1.
Oh, you guys agree.
Finally, Jason and I are in agreement.
Now, if you
would
have said, what's that barbecue sauce? You can't buy it anymore, unfortunately, but it was Prime Choice. I loved the flavor of Prime Choice.
Oh, I never tried that one.
But I can't find it anymore, but A1 out of those two.
A1's not as, there's too much tangy zip in that 57 sauce.
Yeah.
If you mix them together, they're wonderful. But
so A1 and Heinz 57, though, Jason, you referred to that as a barbecue sauce.
No, I didn't.
That's a steak sauce.
Oh, did I say steak that? Sauce. I didn't you mean did. To if I did say
okay.
that. Yeah.
That's what I was curious. Now, the reason
Ew,
I mentioned...
that would be the worst barbecue sauce ever.
The reason I mentioned the sweet barbecue sauce up above is because the next matchup is going to be a spicy, smoky barbecue sauce versus horseradish.
Barbecue. I mean, I do enjoy horseradish, but more on just roast beef sandwiches.
I'm going to agree that sometimes the horseradish is just a little too much. People are going to hate me for that.
A little bit goes a long ways.
It does. I love a smoky barbecue sauce better than a sweet one.
Yeah, so do I.
Gotcha.
That sounds pretty good.
Gotcha. All right, so the last...
You were right. I'm already hungry here.
Yeah, I am
it's gonna
hungry.
It's going to get worse.
I need a burger.
It's going to get worse. Worse.
It's going to get worse, guys.
Bratwurst versus ham on top.
Ham loaf. Gonna be? Bratwurst versus ham loaf.
If you choose, because the last
thing... That sounds like a rap battle I want to watch.
The last thing we have to do as we're debating the best burger condiment is I need to hear from each of you, builds your perfect burger.
Who wants to go first?
I will go first.
Okay, go, but hurry.
I want a toasted bun for starters.
Oh, it doesn't.
On the bottom bun, I want a good layer of burger sauce. I want a little bit of lettuce on there. I want a patty on top of that, perfectly seasoned. On top of that, thick slice of American cheese, one fried egg, some bacon,
ew,
some mayo on the top. Press it together, you're done.
Oh. So you're going for the Good Morning Sunshine burger, huh?
Love it.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? I mean, if you wanted to shrink your testicles, you would definitely eat that.
Wait, let me. I can answer for Jason on his perfect burger, though. He likes a double quarter pounder with cheese with bacon. Only one slice of cheese, please. Yeah. Put it in between the two patties, though, because otherwise it's too messy. Just yes. Light on the ketchup.
Well, it melted better. No. Okay. That's if I was to get a McDonald's burger, yes. That's your probably perfect what I would burger. Do. No, my perfect burger is, and at first I'm like, nah. But then I'm like, well, yeah, it is good. Toasted bun. I'm going to go with the toasted bun, just all like right, Adam did. Then I'm going to have my quarter pound patty. Then I'm going to have a slice of pepper jack cheese. It has to be pepper jack. Mm. That's the best cheese on a burger.
Good. That sounds good.
Then another patty because I want a lot of beef. Then on top of it, crisp bacon. It has to be crisp. Ooh. And then I would like the smoky barbecue sauce, like a spicy smoky barbecue sauce. And I forgot the bacon. I'd like it to be a peppered bacon, so it gives it a little bit of spice. And then that barbecue sauce, and then just the crown. Then I do not like pickles. I do not like hot pickles. And once you put a chilled pickle on a burger, it becomes hot, or you know, at least minimum of room temperature. And I don't like that. I like my pickles cold, so I always order it without pickles. I did forget. I do love sliced onion on it. You have to have onion on a burger. It makes a burger.
Yeah, I forgot about that too.
Yeah, and that is. That raw is the burger I make. No, it has to be raw. I do not like them sauteed, caramelized, nothing. It's got to be
like them both.
Raw. It's got to be. You got to bite into it and you got to hear that snap.
Okay, calm down, beef man.
Well, I'm hungry. Thanks a lot, freaking Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. You know what, Jason? Your burger sounds great to me, too.
Thank you. Yours is good for breakfast, though, Adam.
Okay, thanks.
Breakfast
burger.
I feel
better now.
Is the yolk on your breakfast burger, is that going to be...
Oh, I hope it's an over hard.
It's slightly over soft, I think. They let a little bit of the yolk flow.
Yolk all over the place.
I want a little bit of yolk in there.
A little bit.
The yolk's on you.
See, I like both of them, but I would just change the cheese choices because I love cheese, but I can't pepper go jack, with a standard dude. American or pepper jack. I've got to go with something like a Munster cheese, a Gouda,
Limburger,
like that. A smoked Gouda or a smoked Munster cheese are fantastic because they don't get oily as much.
Yeah, smoked cheeses are good.
Like cheddar.
You can't beat the melting capabilities of an American cheese.
Yeah, it has that's the lowest melt temperature of any cheese.
It's weird, though,
too,
because American, when it melts, it gets more towards a consistency almost of like a cheese whiz. Not quite, but you know what I mean? It goes that direction.
Cheese whiz, Wally.
Cheddar. Ooh, I'd put some cheese whiz on there.
I can't. I don't care for cheese whiz. The Munster and Gouda cheeses like that, when they melt, they keep their shape. They stay solid, but they get just this nice creaminess to them without running all over.
Ah.
So that's for me. That's the only change.
God,
I
need a burger.
I would go simple, you know. Toasted bun, buttered lightly. Ketchup, mayo, and then a little bit of maybe barbecue sauce on the side to dip as I wanted with some fried onions. Crispy bacon, you're right, and a good layer of cheese, like I mentioned, would be golden. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. Love it.
Can I tell you one of the things growing up, I had some cousins, not going to mention them by name because they've never listened to this podcast, but they used to do something that disgusted me. You're talking about condiments here. And what is a condiment? To me, a condiment is a food flavor enhancer. It is not a food replacement.
Agreed.
So what drove me crazy is they would get a burger, be it a homemade burger, burger from McDonald's, etc. They would take the crown off and they would just douse that in ketchup and then put it on. Flip the burger over, take the heel off, douse that in ketchup, put it back on. Make a big old puddle of ketchup on their plate. They would take that burger, they would dip that in ketchup and then bite the ketchup soaked bun. Then they would dip it again and bite the next piece of bun.
You sound very offended by this.
I was. It disgusted me. And I'm like, all you're tasting is ketchup. You're not tasting any of the goodness of a burger.
Zero goodness.
Exactly. Agreed. Do you guys agree with me or not?
How old were they?
They did it whenever, I don't know, whenever we'd go eat burgers. So early teens up through, you know, adulthood. I'm sure they still do it today.
Hey, some people are all about the condiments.
That's my daughters. They will drink ranch dressing if you gave it to them in a cup. They dip absolutely everything in ranch dressing, and it disgusts me because I cannot stand the smell, let alone... wait, I said it backwards. I cannot stand the taste, let alone the smell of ranch dressing.
I'll tell you what, a little bit of ranch, a little bit of French mixed together on a salad, good stuff.
Ew. There's the only kind of dressing I like is the orange one. So I like a French dressing or a red Russian dressing. That is it.
I thought the only kind of dressing you liked was the
maybe some of the house dressings, like the house dressing they have on the salad at Olive Garden ain't too bad. It's kind of like an Italian, Italian mix, whatever. I don't know what it is. It's their house dressing.
I got your joke, Dave.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Sorry, I was talking.
Yeah, you'll hear it when you edit. Make it nice and prominent.
Yep. So everybody, exactly. Thank you for joining us today on the Foodcast. It is our new...
Well, hey, I really with us your favorite burger.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to hear what you guys come up with on this one, as long as it does not involve that stupid Impossible Burger.
Or, you know, what Dave's favorite is to have cheese made from Amy Schumer's breast milk.
Oh!
You just killed it. I'm not hungry anymore.
Well, Dave took that picture of her pumping and put that on his phone.
He took that picture? No. She called him and was like, hey, I need a photographer. And he was like, there's not a picture out there I won't take.
Let me be real here, though. If I got a call, you can bet there'd be an invoice attached to that, and that payday would probably be worth it.
Well, yeah.
Yep, probably. So, guys, for all things Digital Soup, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com where you can find links to all of our stuff, because we have more on there than just ourselves talking. There's also articles on there and cool stuff, so check that out. Also, there's links to all of our social media. Say hi to us on Facebook or Twitter.
Hi!
And tell a friend about us. Leave a review for us, if you'd be so kind, on Apple Podcasts. And, of course, anywhere where you can subscribe to podcasts, you can subscribe to ours. So be sure to do that. Check it out. We appreciate your listening, and have a wonderful week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
I can't wait to get myself an Impossible Burger. Oh, yeah!
Hashtag Dave loves the Impossible Burger.
Ooh.
Edit out the boo. Put in a ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, you guys are evil. Edit out the boo,
put in an ooh.
Ooh.
It's the Digital Soup Podcast.